Do I mean to sound alarmist? No, I'm being factual. And when I look at it under the microscope and I see the parts of people or people that are no longer with us, the damage and the disease is caused by that spike.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. That is a board-certified pathologist, physician, scientist. And in fact, he has multiple board certifications, and he's simply saying, look, we took a look at the cells after a person died having received the vaccine, and here's what we're seeing for the first time. We're seeing all these micro blood clots that don't show up on any x-ray or CAT scan or MRI. And this is what's leading to their death. And no one's talking about it. Now, a large group in that room of physicians are listening. I'll go into more detail why that's important. And on my next program, I have a special commentary. I wrote it this morning, but we have such a full show that I don't have time today to get into it. But I think you'll find it completely original and different. It's meant to allow us to stimulate some thought. And in fact, today we're going to stimulate thought. We're going to talk about health and nutrition. Ohio State University published an article on brain behavior and immunity about omega-3 once again, that important omega-3 fatty acids, and how it offsets the effects of processed food. Now, earlier in the week, you heard from a medical doctor who said he went on a 30-day, 80% processed food diet. That's an average American's diet, and how it completely destroyed his health in just 30 days. Well, imagine if you could do something to help people if they're not going to change their diet. And I used to do the same thing with my friends. And for example, I knew the only night that any of my friends would ever eat anything resembling actual food that was healthy was when we went out socializing. And so I would just say, I'll pay for the meal. I'll pay for everyone's meal. But at least go to a place where I know you're going to get some things that are healthy. Is that open? Is that fair? Okay, good. They cared about getting a free meal, not because it was healthy. And that, you know, that's something. It's a little bit, doesn't mean a whole lot, but it's the idea of giving up and doing nothing that we have to live with. What if? What if they would have, what if? Well, you can't live by what ifs either. But imagine being able to make sure that the people you care about are getting the omega-3 fatty acids in spite of the fact they're not going to change their processed food diet. This article on the current issue of brain behavior and immunity from Ohio State University shows really, really good outcome. That's important. So we're going to talk about health issues today. Also, phages regain mainstream recognition. What does that mean? Why it's important? Why should you should care? I'll break that into lay language. And then we're going to go to a few videos today. And one of the videos is a stop the shot caught on tape. What do I mean? I'll play that segment. Then a mainstream liberal and progressive, Kim Iverson, says, fire Fauci already. History of flip-flopping and lies. And should force his retirement. But this is a man who's been lying for a long time. Now, I'm sure I don't need to go into it. You're already aware that Fauci was supporting in the National Institutes of Health all of these scientific studies, including putting these poor beagle dogs with their head in a cage and letting these fleas feast on their faces. I mean, this is just inhumane. And yet, not a single word of criticism, wouldn't even know it from the mainstream media. It's like, once you're in our circle, no matter how demonic you are, we've got to protect you. And that's what they're doing with Fauci. I've got a whole program I'm going to present next week about Fauci and AIDS. And it's based upon an article by Celia Farber in Spin Magazine. And this was written in 1989. So nothing has changed. And things you did not know he was responsible for. All the deaths, tens of thousands of people died because of Anthony Fauci. That alone should have caused him to be fired. But not a word. We'll deal with that. Also today, we're going to share some insight about Julian Assange and why we should all be concerned. You'll be hearing from one of the world's greatest documentarians and investigative journalists, John Pilger, and, of course, the person interviewing him, Chris Hedges. So you see, we have a lot to share today. And we always begin with the latest on health and healing, something we can all benefit from if we choose. So what we found in this one study is that the omega-3 fatty acids, especially the DHA, and that's found in fish oil, it's also found in algae, by the way, and therefore eating algae every day, as many Orientals do, in China, South Korea, there's a whole strip of Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos that eat seaweed as well. Very nourishing, very, very dynamic food for your body. And it really worked against the adverse effects of processed food that contain high amounts of refined carbohydrates. It was a 4-week study, including young and older rats that received normal chow or a diet designed to mimic a human diet that is high in processed foods, which consisted of just 63% refined carbohydrates. And the comparison with young rats, old animals given the processed food diet had memory defects, an increased expression of pro-inflammatory genes in the hippocampus and amygdala areas of the brain. By the way, that's where you have your memory. And that was at the end. The amygdala in humans has been implicated in memories associated with emotional and fear and anxiety-producing events. So the more refined carbohydrates you consume, the more sugar you eat, the more pretzels and pastas and bread, the more likely you are to experience fear, anxiety, and depression. It's that simple. Nothing complicated about that. Also, for those of you who are having work-related stress, Irvine Labs Institute and the OLEX Research Center in Italy found that the French oak wood, French oak, O-A-K, wood, separate word, W-O-D, intake lessens stress in the workplace. Now, this was specifically a group of nurses who received an extract of French oak wood. By the way, it's known in the marketplace as Robuvit, R-O-B-U-V-I-T, R-O-B-U-V-I-T, and it really improved the response to stress in a positive way. So the male and female nurses who were evaluated for signs of stress and fatigue as part of the cardiovascular screening program, and they all showed higher persistent levels of oxidative stress in screening. And then they were given this protocol, 300 milligrams a day of Robuvit, or the French wood, and others did not. And there was a tremendous difference in dealing with stress. The most important symptoms related to work-induced were fatigue and stress and cognitive function and stamina. All of those improved with this one nutrient. From the University of St. Andrews, which is in Scotland, they found a study, and we don't need studies for this. We've known this. I don't believe in retirement. I believe that when you retire and you think, now I don't have to do anything else, I can just take it easy, those are the people who die fast. And studies have supported this. No matter what age, you should still be stimulating yourself by learning new languages, words, learning classical music, learning to play an instrument, learning another language. Doing things that are important to you every day. And that's what they found. They show how an 8-hour workday benefits your brain. Now, let's just be realistic. Retirement, that well-earned rest after years of hard work, for most people, they'll tell you it's our time to explore, you know, what the Italians call the art of doing nothing. And to many Americans, having the wherewithal to retire before the age of 65 is considered the ultimate economic status symbol. Interesting, because the three people I knew who retired early because they started work in one was state trooper, close friend of mine, and another two worked in police also, all retired by the age of 50. And then they didn't know what to do with themselves. And one of them died of cancer. Didn't know he had cancer, only found out when I found out he had died. And when I asked, why didn't he call me? Why didn't he call me? Well, because he had been in a bad mood for a long time. And he didn't know what to do with his life. And instead of reaching out to his friends, he just suffered inside and didn't follow the protocols, etc. So we have to understand that you should always have a purpose to live for that really is the energy of the day. I'm going to do this today, not just because it makes me feel good about myself and the day I'm enjoying, which I will never enjoy again. This is the last time we'll see today. So make it worthwhile. Make something important happen. Join a cause. You know, whatever that cause may be, a humanitarian cause. I have a lot of respect for people that donate their time at food banks. And there's one place I support called the Daily Bread. In fact, I won't go into how I support them, but I support them. I promised some homeless vets I would do what I could to see that they always had food, and they have. And we can all do something. It's not changing the world. It's not virtue signaling. It's just saying, if I can do something for someone who has less, then I have a moral and spiritual responsibility to do so. So anyhow, that also is a purpose for living, knowing that whatever gifts you've gained throughout your life, and we all have gifts, we all have learned to master different things, you know, so why not? Why not share that? But that gives you something to wake up to, because I've seen the other side of that. I've seen it in my own family, where they wake up, they've retired, and they just don't do anything. They just do little, you know, rituals each day. Man, then that is not good. So this is what it's saying. Don't retire your brain. Keep it active. This study of 20,000 people showed that those who kept themselves occupied on things that were important to them live a longer life, and they're happier. Also from UCLA comes a study showing that breastfeeding can help prevent cognitive decline. That's correct, published in Evolution Medicine and Public Health. The researchers at UCLA Health has found that women over the age of 50 who had breastfed their babies performed better on cognitive tests compared to women who had never breastfed. One more benefit, this one to the mother, not just to the baby. All right, very important. So breastfeeding improves a child's long-term health and well-being, and that study was one of the very few that has looked at the long-term health effects of women who had breastfed their babies. So breastfeeding is good for both. And this is just one more study to support that. Good for them. And also they're finding from Marshall University School of Medicine that fat cells are found to play a central role in cognitive decline and neurodegeneration. This was published in iScience, and it talked about how the fat cells control the systemic response to brain function, meaning they can cause impairment in memory and cognition. And to put this in lay language, there is no such thing as being overweight and healthy. Now, we definitely shouldn't be shaming people. That's foolish and insensitive. But we should be aware, to the best we can, to encourage people, helping them, coaching them if they ask and are open to it, to lose the weight, because the more fat cells you have, the more neurodegeneration you're going to experience. It's that simple. Don't make it complicated. Doesn't have to be. That's the latest on health and healing. We're 15 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I just want you to hear this discussion between, and the full discussion is on my website, garynall.com and parent.fm, but I'm only going to play about 10 minutes of it. You'll get the message within that 10 minutes of why everything our government, that means not just the current administration, but Trump administration, and especially the Obama administration, has done against those who've told the truth. And now all the liberal media considers anyone who tells the truth that embarrasses the government as the enemy. How about that for an oxymoronic concept? But that's where we're at today. Wow. How do we get here? That's our question for the day. How do we get to where the people who expose crimes against humanity and corruption and torture and malfeasance, they get rewarded by going to jail, having their reputations forever destroyed, not being able to have gainful employment. But the people who committed the crimes are rewarded. No criticism allowed. And that's supported by the mainstream media and all CNN and Rachel Maddow and all these other people. What do you make of that? What is your opinion? 888-874-4888. Also yesterday, I couldn't get to all the calls. I'm sorry, our shows are always packed, but today I'm going to take calls earlier in the program in between segments. And if you're a person that has taken a holistic protocol, got COVID, and are healthier today because of it, A, because you're naturally immunized, and B, because you're wise enough to use the protocols and that strengthened your immune system, let me hear from you. Or if you're a person that chose not to use protocols, what were the consequences and what lessons have you learned? We'd like to hear from you as well. Back in a moment, going to this segment with John Pilger being interviewed by Chris Hedges on Julian Assange, something we should make important in our lives. And Randy Credico has done so, but very few other people in the media have followed suit.
Contact. Today we discuss the upcoming extradition hearing in London of Julian Assange.
This is a CIA operation. Anyone who knows the United States well knows the power of the CIA, the extrajudicial power of the CIA, the extra-governmental power of the CIA. That's what this is. All right, Pompeo may have been a sort of Hermann Göring lookalike and a clown, but he was a serious head of the CIA. And that same CIA, which is in league with the Department of Justice, led by several of the more extreme people in the DOG, wants Assange. And you know, just before we came, it all goes back to this. This is which you've probably seen, 2008, one of WikiLeaks' first major leaks. It's March the 18th, 2008. It's from the US Army counterintelligence assessment branch, Department of Defense. You read through this document, it lays out everything that happened from 2010, that we will get Assange by smearing him, by discrediting him, by destroying trust in WikiLeaks, and that from here on, investigative journalism of this kind, in other words, serious investigative journalism, is our enemy.
On September 26, Yahoo News published kidnapping, assassination, and a London shootout inside the CIA's secret war plans against WikiLeaks. The article detailed discussions within the CIA to kidnap or assassinate Julian Assange. The revelations came a month before a hearing in Britain's High Court that will see the U.S. government appeal a decision that WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange cannot be sent to the United States to face espionage charges. These revelations also coincided with the arrest of an Icelandic man who played a major role in the FBI's case against Assange and who has now admitted he lied in his testimony about Assange to U.S. federal investigators. The most recent revelations, coupled with the numerous legal anomalies of the Assange case, including leaks that show that the Spanish security firm at the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where Assange sought refuge for 7 years, turned over recordings of his meetings with his lawyers to the CIA, amply illustrate that the judicial pantomime carried out against Julian Assange is a political persecution led by the U.S. government and the CIA because of embarrassing and damaging revelations about the inner workings of the U.S. military, intelligence community, and the political class, repeatedly exposed by Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. The goal of the U.S. government is to shut down WikiLeaks and organizations like WikiLeaks and to make an example of Julian Assange, who, if he is extradited to the United States, faces 175 years in prison, to dissuade others who might consider replicating his courageous reporting. Joining me to discuss the Assange case and the upcoming hearing in London on October 27th and 28th is the documentary filmmaker and investigative journalist, John Pilger. So, John, you have been, from the moment this began, one of the most outspoken and eloquent defenders of Julian. But just recapsulate, if you can, a little bit about what has brought us to this point and why we're having this hearing.
Well, this is a show trial. I've actually sat in on show trials, and this is a show trial. All that very relevant evidence you mentioned in your preamble, particularly the crucial witness known as Teenager, who has admitted that he fabricated all the evidence. So any case in any court, in any common law country, would be thrown out just on the basis of that, just that one thing alone. But nothing will happen, because that's what this is. It's a political show trial right from the beginning. Some people hearing that will say that sounds like agitprop. It isn't. I've sat in courtrooms watching Julian now, I suppose, since, 2010. It's become increasingly bizarre. The last high court hearing, which allowed the U.S. to extend the terms of its appeal against a lower court judge, who in fact in February said that if Julian is extradited, then he's likely to take his own life. The extension of the terms of the U.S. appeal were absolutely absurd. None of the relevant evidence, especially that which you've mentioned, and especially this latest revelation. I have to say, though, Chris, coming upon many revelations over the years, there are a number of things wrong with this particular revelation, but its overall sense is correct. And that is that, in fact, it's really confirming what they've already done. They've kidnapped Julian Assange. When the police went in April 2019 into the Ecuadorian embassy, they kidnapped him. They've rendered him to Belmarsh prison. All that's waiting for him now is a show trial and a possible assassination. Now, I think assassination is unlikely. If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. But certainly, that let me explain, in Britain, when you have a lower court judge who said, surprisingly, and she said it only in February only because the evidence was too blatant, too obvious, that Julian, who suffers from Asperger's disease, had already made attempts on his own life. There was a terror. One day in court, we sat through and heard how Julian had called the Samaritans. They found razor blades in his cell. All the kind of evidence that made those of us who are his friends rather shiver. His father was sitting next to me with his head in his hands. This was something that judge could not ignore. So she had to go against, the narrative, the preordained narrative, There's no question there's a preordained narrative. We watched her after an argument between the two sides that had gone on for an hour, open her laptop and read a decision, which had been pre-written, pre-cooked. So that's a show trial. So she said, no, he can't be extradited on that basis. And the US since February have tried to whittle down the terms of the appeal, and that is Julian's mental health will be affected to such a degree that he will make an attempt on his own life. No one has ever been, to my knowledge, no one in recent years has ever been extradited from Britain when a lower court judge has said that. So extending the terms of the appeal is part of that whittling down. Now, when it gets to October the 27th and 28th in the High Court, the judges will then consider what's left of the terms of the appeal. But if they go against that lower court judge, they will be setting a precedent in English law that I certainly don't remember and other lawyers don't remember. So we can draw from that. There is a real possibility Julian will be set free, not on the 27th or 28th. Their decision will be a written one. It will be published in January. There is that possibility. But as this is a show trial, you can bet anything that some kind of spinning of the judicial process is already underway to get Julian on a plane to the United States.
I want to ask you, John, about John Shipton, his father. I think Stella Morris and you and others have talked about how while they have not assassinated him, this incarceration under these draconian conditions is kind of a slow form of assassination.
Oh, yes, absolutely right. I mean, that's why I say when we talk about, you know, people during the rendition days, the kidnapping and rendition and assassination that were all part of this lawless Wild West protest that went on.
Okay, and you can hear the rest of the interview, an additional 15 minutes, on PRN.fm. I just want to keep the audience aware that this is, as John Pelger just said, a show trial, that the entirety of the American liberal media is supporting everything against Julian Assange. And yet there was a time when they praised him, published all of his work. He was never shown to have released an inaccurate document. 10 million documents that he released, everyone was accurate. And yet not one time had they gone after the people that he showed were engaged in frauds and crimes against humanity. What does that tell you about everyone in power today? I'd like to hear from you. Now, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to share some deep insights from John W. Whitehead and Nasha Whitehead. I have my own commentary on this, and we'll be joined by Richard Gale, because Anthony Fauci said something to Wolf Blitzer on CNN, and I was just thunderstruck by how stupid it was. How could someone that successful and powerful be that blatantly inaccurate on a scientific level? So we're going to talk about, quote, well, get a shot in both arms, the flu shot in one arm and, you know, the COVID shot in the other. Oh, and you may need, as one other person said, as many as get your fourth booster or your fourth shot, which is your second booster that's going on in Israel. And if you don't, then it doesn't matter how many shots you've gotten before this, at least three, you're going to lose your green pass. So now you're just no different than the unvaccinated. Wow. What foolish draconian measures. scientists are speaking out, physicians are speaking out, and the media is not covering any of it. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment on all these topics, 888-874-4888. I'm sure many of you, like myself, believe that America should have an open-door policy for those who want to come and contribute the uniqueness of their being and culture to our greater society. That's what we've experienced for hundreds of years. How we do it is the issue. Just throwing open all the borders and having anyone come across is counterproductive. First of all, we're not helping people that way. It is inhumane to invite someone to come into our country who has no jobs, no money, doesn't speak the language, has no place specifically to go, and therefore has been exploited up to that point by traffickers and other people. Bring someone in, let them first be educated, helped in their own country with special schools that will be open for people who want to make a orderly and legal transition in the United States, and then have at our borders, and that's where that we should put our money and infrastructure, hospitals and clinics and schools, and to help people. If they have diseases, we help them. If they need to understand where the jobs are, help them. But we're not doing any of that. It's all political, just so they can get more votes. It's just stupid. Because here's what no one's talking about. How many people, how many young women have been brought in for sex slaves? Tens of thousands. Are you going to be responsible for that? You going to own that? Is that on you? You who praise women and say women, are you going to say, well, we are for women, providing that there are political class and believe in this same politic, etc. But otherwise, no. No, because there's a blatant hypocrisy here, and I'm sick of this hypocrisy. So what about all the terrorists who now see the opportunity to come in and do us harm? Do you think they're not going to come across that border, as many as they can, go to different places and be doing harm to us? Are you going to own that? You're going to say, you know something? That reservoir they just put a toxin in that they got from Pakistan or China or Russia or Iran that caused 200,000 or 500,000 or a million people to be poisoned and died? Yeah, we own that because we were so caught up in our ideology. We were blinded by hate and despising anyone who challenged us. We were so self-righteous. So that's just an unintended consequence and lesson learned. Let's go forward from here, wipe our mind clean of responsibility. We have to realize that there are consequences to what we do in life. And yet, right now, too many people are not looking at the consequences. So what does it mean? From my perspective, it means we're living in an age of madness. Madness that is with the distorted faces of rage, and yet these are human faces. Many of them work for the U.S. government. A lot more work for public relations firms that will take on a client who is a butcher, who is a genocidalist, who kills people like Saudi Arabia or Bahrain or United Arab Emirates or any of the 54 countries in Africa that have tyrants, and you pay enough money, oh, you get the best and brightest minds to sanitize you, create a new reputation. And if these people who work there every day, like McKinsey, they consider themselves smart, prosperous, and they are smart and they are prosperous, make a lot of money. But what they're doing is they're taking something that should be judged based upon the merits of its lack of integrity and calling it for what it is. That's not what they do. Just like the manufacturers of munitions, they're never held accountable. So what we're dealing with today is an authoritarian beast that has outgrown its chains and will not be restrained. And through its acts of power grabs and brutality and meanness and inhumanity and immorality and greed and corruption and debauchery and tyranny, the government, our government, has become almost indistinguishable from the evil it claims to be fighting, whether the evil takes a form of terrorism, torture, disease, drug trafficking, sex trafficking, murder, violence, theft, pornography, scientific experimentation, like Fauci and his Beagles experiments, or some other diabolical means of inflicting pain, suffering, and servitude on humanity. As long as they're made more powerful, wealthier and are in control. They are Pontius Pilate. They wash their hands symbolically and they walk away. We have let the government's evil doing and abuses go for too long. We have bought into the illusion and refused to grasp the truth. We're being fed a series of carefully contrived fictions that bear no resemblance to reality. We're living in two worlds, the world we see or are made to see, and the one we sense and occasionally catch a glimpse of, the latter of which is a far cry from the propaganda-driven reality manufactured by the government and its corporate sponsors, which includes virtually all the media and a lot of the alternative media. Indeed, what most Americans perceive as life in America, privileged, progressive, and free, is not. It's a far cry from reality, where economic inequality is growing, pandemic lockdowns, both mental and physical, real agendas and real power are buried beneath layers of Orwellian doublespeak and corporate obfuscation, and so-called freedom, such as it is meted out in small, legalistic doses by militarized police armed to the teeth. The powers that be want us to feel threatened by forces beyond our control, terrorists, shooters, bombers, disease. But what if they are the ultimate saboteurs of democracy? They want us afraid and dependent on the government and its militarized armies for our safety and well-being. They want us distrustful of each other, dividing each other, prejudiced by each other, and at each other's throats without a thought of, is this right? Most of all, they want us to continue to march in lockstep with their dictates. You can tune out the government's attempts to distract and divert and befuddle us and tune into what's really going on in this country, and you'll run headlong into an unmistakable, unpalatable truth. The moneyed elite, the ruling class, the professional class, the lawyers, the doctors, the engineers, the scientists, the professors, many of whom view us as an expendable resource to be used, abused, and discarded. In fact, a study conducted by Princeton and Northwestern universities concluded the U.S. government does not represent the majority of American citizens. Instead, the study found the government is ruled by the rich and powerful, or the so-called economic elite. Moreover, the researchers concluded that policies enacted by this government elite nearly always favor special interest groups and lobbying groups. Wonder what goes on every day in Washington, D.C., appearing every day, 5 days a week, on WPFW for 36 years, and gone down there at least 100 times over those 36 years for lectures and fundraisers. I met a lot of people working in governmental agencies, and one sat with me at the end of a lecture, and he wanted to tell me whether I was accurate or inaccurate in some of my posits on government. He says it starts early in the morning. It starts with a racquetball. We are playing with a buddy. You are a Senate aide, and the racquetball player works for a lobbying firm or consulting firm that doesn't have to register as a lobbyist. And as a result, during that game where there's no paper trail and no one listening, you talk about what piece of legislation you want enacted and what the person will get in return, including the legislator. Then after the racquetball, then you go to a breakfast, and that legislative aide now is at a breakfast where there are at least a dozen other lobbyists who are there to give money to your candidate's campaign, the next campaign. In return, they all want something. They're willing to help that person, but they want something in return always. And then from there, there are tens of thousands of people every day, not just on K Street, but all over Washington, who are there representing the military industrial complex, the pharmaceutical complex, the banking complex, the energy complex, the agricultural complexes, the educational complexes. And they're there not because they want a better world. They want a more profitable world with guaranteed contracts that will not be challenged, no bid contracts wherever possible, and it will go on indefinitely. And what did the person give in return? Well, when you get out of Congress, you've got a very nice job waiting for you. We'll give you a Black American Express card that has no limit. You'll have use of any car you want to lease. We have apartments in different places around the world, in New York, in L.A., West Palm Beach, You can use these on our dime. We have private jets. And suddenly, what once was the young Mr. Smith going to Washington with ideals becomes an ever-increasingly, almost imperceptibly, lacking in judgment and objectivity human being. Until one day they say yes, and suddenly they're behind a piece of legislation, or they intentionally do not involve a congressional hearing under oath where all members of the CDC, including subpoenaing Julie Gerberding, the former head of the CDC, who went to work at Merck right after she left the CDC, and she was part of the chain of command that buried the information on the dangers, the 325% increase in autism in young, 36 months and younger African-American males. But the man who did it was still there, Dr. William Thompson. He has all the records. He gave them to a legislator, Posey, out of Florida. Posey has not been able to get a single committee hearing on this because Democrats and Republicans alike, they say, no, not going to help you. Why not? The truth will get out. We'll show that the MMR vaccine was deadly and should never have been used and is still being used, and how corrupt the CDC is. Nope. Why? Remember what I said. These legislators are always looking for someone to put money into their campaign chest or give them promises, or their legislative aides are going to work for that legislator till they've made enough connections they can jump from being a legislative aide or chief of staff into a very powerful position, generally by their mid-40s, some even earlier. And these people run Washington. They're smart. They're highly educated. They know everybody. And they have the morals and scruples of a spitting cobra. That's how Washington works. In every department, in every agency, all the time, and especially in the media. So you want to find truth in Washington? You're not going to find it. That's the simple reality we're dealing with. Now, everything that you're being told to do is coming from these people and the people they represent. And that's a problem. Let's go to a clip. It's a short clip, 40 seconds, when Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday was talking with Wolf Blitzer about the vaccine in both arms, and Richard Gale will respond. And then we'll take your calls right after that at 888-874-4888. We're loading up. We'll present this in just a second. If we don't get it loaded, we'll just go right over to...
As we head into this flu season, the regular flu season, Dr. Fauci, a lot of our viewers want to know, should people get their flu shot and a COVID vaccine or a COVID booster shot at the same time as they get their flu shot, or should they spread out those two shots?
What you should do is get it as soon as you can and in the most expeditious manner. If that means going in and getting the flu shot in one arm, the COVID shot in the other, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, that might make it more convenient and make it more liable, more likely that you would actually go get both of them if you can do it conveniently in one visit. So whatever it takes to get both of them, go ahead and do it. If it's one visit, it's perfectly fine.
What an irresponsible fool. Richard Gale, please deconstruct the lack of legitimacy and the lack of real science in what Fauci just said.
We've covered this so often.
Yes, Richard? Did we lose Richard there? He just dropped. Okay, we're going to get him back. Before we do, we've got some people on the line. So let's say hello to Alberto from New York. Hi, Alberto, your turn.
Hello. I'm 65 years old and working full-time. I have been a frontline worker since 2019, taking the subway cars and being along a lot of people at work. I have made a lot of changes, and I followed to some degree the vitamin, immune enhancing C, D3 plus K2, and zinc and so on, quercetin. the reason I'm calling, first of all, I have taken the test 3 times and I have not, and this 2 tests, I have not come up positive in either residual or actively infected or having any symptoms all this time. The reason I'm calling is that I want to really push down and get to the anti-aging level and so make my sacrifice or my efforts worthwhile to improve my not fully enhanced or incorporated or made effective protocol or lifestyle methods.
Okay. I would reverse it. I would say you say somewhat you're doing something. That's me. That doesn't tell me enough. When you say somewhat, are you taking a plant-based diet? Are you exercising 5 hours a week? Are you engaging in some form of constructive stress management protocol? Are you taking zinc, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin, selenium, and astragalus, those 7 nutrients on a regular basis? Do you have a physician who will give you, if you should become infected, and start immediately a combination of different drugs that FDA-approved drugs that can help prevent that from going further so you catch it early and you destroy it. The more you do now in preventing a condition, the less likely you are to have severe reactions because we're all going to be exposed to the virus sooner or later. So why not just assume, okay, I'm going to come in contact with that virus. What can I do today to minimize the downside of that experience? So that's where I would put my energy if I were you. Okay, thanks for the call. And to the anti-aging, in January, when I start my next big program, and I'm going to do this worldwide, not just on campus, but a whole worldwide campaign in an anti-aging way, then you can see what's involved. It's not something I can go over in a few minutes. We're talking about a lot of input, and but that is coming. It's coming in January. Now we have Richard back. Richard, pick the pace up. We got to get into it.
Yeah. Where did I leave off? Because
okay, let's start with this. I'm going to ask you. Go through the studies that show that Fauci is wrong.
Well, I think it's not just that he's wrong. It's also the dangers of what he's saying. And the U.S. Army study that I was starting to say before I got knocked off was that there was a 36% higher odds of coming down with coronavirus if you received the flu vaccine compared to the unvaccinated. And also there was significantly higher co-infections among the vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated. What we're hearing from Fauci is something we've been hearing from the CDC, NIH, and FDA for years and years, because let's remember that the U.S. your tax dollars purchase all these flu vaccines every year. We spend $2 billion to purchase upwards to 160 to 170 million flu shots, and they want to dump them off. So the vaccine makers, they're fine. They got your tax dollars already. You already paid them. And so they just continue to try to dump this. But consistently, what's been going, what we find year after year after year, that the CDC is fudging the numbers of the death rates from due to flu. And then independent studies just kind of turn around and continually to debunk them. I mean, generally, we can't just trust the CDC reports. One year, I think it was 2018, the CDC claimed that the vaccines were 40% effective, but Rice University turned around, looked at the same data, and they determined it was 19% efficacy. There was a Kaiser Permanente study. They looked at 45,000 medical records, and they would have it. It's Kaiser. They probably have better medical records than even the U.S. government. And looking at all those that tested positive for flu, and they found the risk of contracting flu climbed 16% for every month after vaccination. that's even a worse record than what the COVID vaccine is providing. So they're duds. And we know that immune protection wanes, you know, begins waning both for the COVID flu vaccines and the flu vaccines begin waning within a month for many patients. The issue, the Cochrane database is probably the state-of-the-art study when they reviewed all the studies that involved almost 300,000 children, and they determined that there was no evidence that injecting children with the flu shot was any more effective than the placebo. In fact, those that were vaccinated, there was a 33% increase in being hospitalized for asthma conditions and other complications. So, and the same is also true for adults. There are 64 studies right now that are showing the vaccination of healthy adults only reduced the risk of flu infection by 6%. So there's not even 0.6%.
Okay, there's also this. They're advocating the booster shots, which would be 3 and 4. That means 4 separate experimental vaccines going into individuals. Now, here's what they're not discussing. Look at the actual data in the peer-reviewed literature on immunology. If you have people, and we do by probably one half the American population, have some form of autoimmune condition, and which means that the immune system is overstressed and the person's unhealthy and they're far more susceptible to disease. Now, you give them something that keeps that immune system triggered for 24/7 and they're already weakened. They're not healthy people. What do you think is like the likely outcome if you keep hammering a person's immune system that already has a dysfunctional immune system? And that's what the booster does. That's what the vaccine does. Look at the Isle of Gibraltar. That's a good example. Look at Norway, another example. And even in, let's say, Spain, another example. They had people in nursing homes that did not have COVID. They were there because they were old and sick and were there to die. And yet, those individuals, once they were vaccinated, developed COVID. So the vaccine was what produced the COVID. And then they ended up dying at high numbers. That is never discussed. So let's just say that you're a person that's not in a nursing home, but you're at home and you have comorbidities. And now you're told to take the 2 vaccines and now you have COVID. And then they tell you to take a booster and the booster throws your immune system right through the roof and you die. I think that we should have people other than Anthony Fauci making some of the statements because he has caused so much confusion, has given so much misinformation. And finally, we want to say goodbye to our BA audience, but we're going to continue to the top of the hour on PRM.fm. Let's just say that you gave 100 million people in 1 year the flu vaccine. At the end of the year, 50% didn't come down with the flu. You will hear that it was the flu vaccine that prevented 50% of the flu, therefore it has 50% efficacy that year. That's not true. First of all, there's no distinction between did you live in Wisconsin, Minnesota, where they had a long winter and you didn't get a lot of sunlight, or did you live in Florida or Texas, Nevada, and California, where you get a lot of sunlight, hence vitamin D. Did you take a healthy diet or a meat-based diet? Are you normal weight or overweight? Do you bike and exercise or are you sedentary? Are you highly stressed, unemployed, and depressed? All of which are going to impact your immune system. Are you happy in a good relationship? Are you taking your right supplements to build your immune system against influenza? None of that is considered. So you see they have a completely flawed mathematical model. And by the way, new research that I didn't have time to get to this week, I will next week, shows that virtually the entire model for how to deal with COVID was based upon 3 studies, all of which were mathematical models, and they were all terribly wrong. I mean, hugely wrong. And I'll get to the actual numbers and show you where we followed the wrong road on this. Now, whether it was intentional or not, that is still to be determined. But this is the unintended consequences of being wrong on all these issues. We're going to hear from just a few words now from Kim Iverson, about firing Anthony Fauci. And she is right on.
you've been fired yet, or at least forced into late retirement. Even if you don't agree with the latest headlines that Fauci lied to Congress about whether or not the NIH funded gain-of-function research, or the heart-wrenching headlines regarding experiments on puppies, much of the public has lost confidence in Fauci and his ability to lead the nation out of this pandemic. He's admitted to lying at times, for noble reasons. He's been accused of blatantly lying during others. He's flip-flop on what he considers to be indisputable science and backpedaled on what it will take to allow us to get back to normal. Yet Fauci, who turns 81 at the end of the year, is still the guy at the helm. Why? Getting us through this pandemic requires leadership from someone who doesn't appear to be bipartisan, who doesn't appear to be partisan in any way, shape, or form, and who is seen by the majority of the public as nothing short of trustworthy. Fauci is neither of these things. And as a result, the public is confused, at each other's throats, and worse off for it. So let's start with the lies. The latest to hit the news is regarding his spat with Senator Rand Paul when he snarkily resisted the idea that the NIH funded any gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China. In fact, he insisted that the only person lying during that heated exchange was Senator Rand Paul himself.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. So what was, let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Well, now it comes out in a letter written by the NIH Principal Deputy Director Lawrence Tabak that the NIH did in fact fund gain-of-function research through a grant it gave to EcoHealth Alliance. The question is no longer whether or not the NIH funded gain-of-function research. They did. The question is whether or not Fauci knew about it when he sat in front of Congress asserting unequivocally that they hadn't. Now, lying to Congress, also known as perjury, can land a person in jail, as it did recently for Trump's...
Okay. But nothing will happen to Fauci. That's what happens when you're in the circle of power and you know too much on too many people. You're protected. The deep state makes sure of that. We're out of time, everyone. I have a lot of interesting commentaries I'll be giving next week, and we'll take your calls then. And I'm also hiring a office manager, bookkeeper, and project manager. If you fit any of those, send your resume over to prnstudio@gmail.com, prnstudio@gmail.com. Have a nice day.